any of the show? You can get Scheman and Shepherd all the time with Scheman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Scheman with Pete Shepherd. Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. It's a nice groove you got going there, Chris.
Lupe Fiasco, one of my favorites.
Lupe Fiasco. Is this new or old?
This is, whose standards? Mine or yours?
Is it current or is it?
No, it's
like
not current.
Yesteryear?
No. 10 years?
No. Maybe a little older than that.
Any music that has any sort of jazz in it, or brass, I should say, I'm in.
Oh, Lupe Fiasco.
Yeah. Love it.
Phenomenal.
Love smooth. Love it. Jazz.
No, that's
any
a guy.
Any brass in any band is terrific. Lost art.
Matt from Stream Song says Craig drinks a couple and he thinks he's going crazy. It's just a normal weekend for most normal people. Let's see here. If Craig keeps this up, he'll be on the police blotter. That, according to 6'3". Fitz Baltimore says barbecue master Chris, and The Rock says wants to know if you ever do the smoking thing with a chicken with a beer can up inside of it.
Yeah, I've done it. Yeah, I did not do it this time, but I have done it, and it's a delight. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got it, just use it. I found that like a Michelob Ultra can's a lot easier to get in there than a Bud Heavy.
Why is that?
It's thinner.
Really?
Yeah.
Good to know. Good.
And then I've also got like a, it's almost a funnel type where it rests on it. And that's really good too.
Very good.
Nice.
Who was our winner from Alligator Bay Rum?
Evan in the Cape.
Evan in the Cape is caller number 9.
Nice.
Congratulations on our drinking totals and all that. You'll be able to add to them yourself. Coming up, we have plenty of NFL news, a college football quiz. We'll get to all of it. Yes. Who was it? Cowboy Cliff. We did talk Big Ten basketball. Great game between Michigan and Ohio State. I'm sure we'll revisit that.
We will again. Yep.
Chris pointed out that IU football coach Tom Allen is liking my tweets now. I'm very excited about that. So we're rolling. It's a good Monday, everybody. Time for a Sports Center rundown here at 8 minutes past the hour. Here's Cy Young.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
We have a college basketball doubleheader on 99.3 ESPN tonight at 6:45. It starts with Duke, who is red hot hosting Syracuse. That's followed up with 18th-ranked Texas Tech in Stillwater to take on Oak State. University of Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick said his school will not provide its name, logos, and other branding properties to EA Sports for the new NCAA football game until, LOI, what is it? The branding and imaging, and NIL, thank you. NIL laws are spelled out. I do those off the head most of the time, and I...
Worst update ever.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. I flew through the first part flawlessly.
You got off to a good start.
Then I got to NIL, and I lost NIL. I had a brain fart. I don't know. It happens.
239 says, play some Santana. See if Pete likes that. I love Santana. He played the whole greatest hits.
I also love Santana.
How do you... awesome stuff.
Saw Santana live before the Super Bowl in San Diego.
I almost get to see him in... Massachusetts once, but something happened and they canceled the show.
Probably a snowstorm.
I think you're right. Probably. Honestly,
it's just a guess.
No, I think you're right.
It's an educated guess.
It wasn't something that had to do with the band. It was weather related. It probably was.
Yeah.
Remember Black Magic Woman? One of the first songs I ever started singing as a kid.
It's good. Good tune. Yeah, he was out there playing for about a half hour before kickoff. It was a pregame concert at the stadium while we were filing into the Qualcomm, right? Is that what we used to call it in San Diego? I can't remember.
Yeah.
All right, so Notre Dame is being Notre Dame. They think they're special, and so no logos to the new EA Sports?
No. They're waiting to see, and this is it's a cop-out, because what they're going to do, they're trying everything possible. Jack Swarbrick, who... honest to God, I can't stand it. I can't stand the the snottiness and the narcissism that goes along with being part of that institution. A fine institution of higher learning, respect and for the programs and everything else. But they're trying to wait to see about the imaging, as you said, the imaging. And, okay, so even if they knew about it right now, say it was, say, yes, you're going to be able – the game still is not going to put names on the back of players' jerseys, from my understanding. They're not doing that. They're just going to be – and I don't even know what the likeness is going to be, if any, on the field. I mean, they'll probably have the numbers of the kids that are real good.
Right.
But that's about it as far as my understanding of that is. So who cares? They're not going to be able to make money – off of that game, from my understanding, unless the image is true. But say that it was. It's like Notre Dame feels like, and I don't think he's speaking for any of the athletes, obviously, but Jack Swarbrick's like, oh, no, you're not telling me what to do. Not on my watch.
Yeah.
Well, I hope somebody says to him, would you stop it? Enough already. You're the only school in the country that's doing this. As far as I know, right?
Yeah.
The only school in the country that's doing this.
That's what I heard.
So group licensing can be achieved without the help of a players' union. Most pro sports leagues rely on their unions to negotiate those types of deals. The NCAA, as we know, is opposed to unions or establishing any rules that might further blur the lines between amateur college sports and professional leagues. And at the time of the proposal, leaders of that group said they were hoping to consider group licensing arrangements at some point in the future. Association was scheduled to vote on the proposed rule change last month, but decided to delay the decision indefinitely.
Well, it's a big story, and you handled it well. You've lost, Chris. I hear clapping in the other room and stupid soccer on a 1-1 nil game.
Notre Dame is the first school to publicly declare that it wants to wait for new rules to be put in place before making a decision on whether it will participate in the game. Swarbrick did not say that players would have to be involved for Notre Dame to eventually participate in the game. However, he's one of very few athletic directors who has shown public support for allowing group licensing for athletes. Okay, if that's the case,
yeah,
then what do you? I don't get it. What are you waiting for?
I don't know.
I don't understand. I really don't get it.
I know he's got the best interests of his employer at heart, but I don't know what he's waiting for.
I don't understand it. I mean, if he's according to the story, he's one of the very few ADs who has shown public support for allowing group licensing for athletes.
If I'm EA Sports, I say fine. Notre Dame's not included. We'll have the other 150 teams.
And here's what they will do, Notre Dame, in case you haven't figured this out yet. What they will do is call – there will be a team from South Bend. It'll probably call the South Bend – I don't know, Redbeards or something. And it will be Notre Dame. Everybody
Golden
will know
Domers.
It's Notre Dame.
Golden Domers.
It will be whatever. There's a million things they can do. There will be a team from South Bend in that game. And the numbers of your star players will probably be involved on that particular team. So you can't win. And we don't know, again, what the likeness is going to be, if any. Right. But you're not really doing that. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't understand the video game business. We used to. How many video games over the years that weren't before everything started becoming officially licensed? Every city, I mean, generic baseball games, football games, basketball, hockey games, all used to have, before EA Sports became a thing, you would have generic hockey, you'd have generic, you know, football, and just be the names of cities. It didn't have to, just didn't have the mascots. That's
right,
all.
Right.
So you're not really going to achieve anything. There's still going to be some sort of team.
Maybe he's trying to get some cash for his student athletes.
Well, that's what he claims. But why say we're not participating until I see the new rules? Because
I think that's what he's insinuating. But
let me reverse it and say, why would you participate until you see the new rules?
That's where I go back to say he's doing his job for his university, but everybody else seems to be.
He's the only one that's doing it.
I know.
Because what's the word? If it happens, if he says in this report, like he says, he's one of the few ADs that supports, shown public support for allowing group license for athletes, fine. I don't know if EA Sports is going to have any likeness or not. Whether they do or not. Okay, so if they do, then he's all in on it and the kids can make money off it. If they don't have any likeness, then it doesn't matter anyway. You still don't want to be part of the game?
Yeah.
What is that? If he's... He's kind of in a win-win situation. If he's one of the few ADs that's shown support for allowing licensing, then why would you pull out now? Why would you say, I want to see the rules?
Wouldn't you want to be in that? Because when little kids are playing
yeah.
video games, it's a secondhand recruiting tool,
yeah.
right? If a kid signs up to beat Notre Dame all the time playing his buddies in video games, that's a good thing. If they're not even on the board.
Now, I know.
Maybe they don't fall in love with Notre Dame.
And apparently, you know, in the story, it says, you know, that the EA Sports is trying to negotiate right now with FBS level schools to include their names and other publicity rights in the new version. Swarbrick, I don't understand it. Because you're in the win-win. If that happens, then your kids are going to make money. If it doesn't happen, you're still going to be in the game. It's just not going to be a likeness fee or anything like that. So I don't understand why you do this. It seems to me he's in a win-win situation, like everybody else, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I know there are some ADs that are, most of them, are just against it. Because they said, because you shouldn't make money. An 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid shouldn't make money playing sports. If you don't play sports, you can go make money. But if you play sports, you can't.
All right, Pete Shepard, I think this would be an excellent time for your college football quiz before we segue in everything going on with the NFL. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. What is the genre of today's college football quiz?
The genre is a college football quiz.
I need more details.
No. You'll see. You'll get, you guys will do well with it.
This is a quiz.
All right. It's about rivalries. So let's see how well you know your rivalries. I'll give you six of the biggest rivalries in college football. Your job, should you choose to accept it, pick the side that currently has the edge in the rivalry.
Ooh. Okay, I think I can do
so this. I will start with, let's start with Alabama-Auburn.
Roll Tide!
Alabama.
All right, do you have any idea? Out of, let's see, 85 games that they have played. Yes, Alabama. What do you know? Can you give me any kind of, these are bonus points. These 60, are bonus points.
Plus 15.
60, 23, and 2.
Greg?
You said there's 85 games?
There's 85 games, yes.
I'll just say Alabama with 15 more wins. I can't do that.
No. No, but you're closer. Alabama leads 47-37-1.
Ooh.
So 10 games.
By the way, may I interject quickly? Yeah. Today, in 1893, was the first Iron Bowl. Apparently, it was played in February, not during the fall. So
probably in Birmingham, too.
And by the way, Auburn won 32-22.
Wow.
Blowout. Is that when the eagle flew down and all that?
No, that was in another game.
Okay. All right, how about this? Let's go Pac-12. USC, UCLA. They have played 88 times.
Heavily favored USC. For the Trojans. By about a 20-win margin.
Right, so if they have 88, if they played 88 times, you think they've won 68?
No. Because that would be like a 40-win margin.
No, because they'd be... That'd be 60 you're right, you're right. I'm sorry.
55-33.
All right, just give me a games over 500. Yeah, you think USC's ahead in the series?
In 88, yes. I'll say USC by, you said 20?
Yeah.
That's a good guess, Craig. Right, exactly. I'll go 21.
Okay.
Wrong, but Craig gets the check mark. USC, UCLA. USC leads 49-32-7.
17
so
games.
17 games. Over 500.
Close, I mean.
Yeah.
In the wheelhouse.
Close. Georgia, Florida. They have played 98 times. Georgia, Florida.
Go Gators.
Georgia by 4.
Gators by 4.
Chris gets the check mark. Georgia by 8. 52-44-2. 52-44-2. Bulldogs.
All right.
Oklahoma, Texas. They have played 116 times.
Red River Shootout.
I'll go Texas by 3.
I'm going to go Oklahoma by like 5. It's close.
It is Texas by 13. 62-49-5.
Wow.
62-49-5.
Look, Texas horns. Holding lead. They're back.
But I think the last 15 years, clearly it's Oklahoma.
Probably.
Yeah. Army-Navy. They have played 121 times.
I know Navy's been better recently, but I'm going to go Army by... You said they played 122 times?
121.
Yep. I'll go Army by 20.
Greg?
I'm going to go Army by 1.
No. It is Navy. Navy is 61-53-7.
Wow.
All-time.
That's a good rivalry.
Yeah, 61-53-7. Navy, 8 games over 500 there. All right, last one, Ohio State, Michigan. These teams have played 115 times. Ohio State, Michigan.
All right, here's what I'm going to do here. I'm gonna only say Michigan has the lead.
I think it's Michigan.
Because they are actually, in win total, I think they're the winningest program in all of college football.
I'll say Michigan as well. And they've played 113, you said?
115.
115. I'll go at Michigan by like 8.
I'll go Michigan by 15.
Michigan by 7. 58-51-6.
Good one, Chris.
58-51-6. It was a good one.
Yeah. That's very good.
There you have it.
I like
Not
it.
Bad. It's a good one.
That was a very good quiz.
Pretty good.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk a little NFL football. Pete's got a thing on the rights of NFL football. I still have some sound left over from South Street regarding Deshaun Watson and his future. Something on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well you might want to tune into. So all that's coming up here on the program. Also, want to let you know that, hey, notice a lot of you people are moving down here like permanently, not just snowbirds. In fact, I had difficulty getting into my local beach because of you guys crowding out the area this weekend. But welcome aboard. You all need to get insurance. You may discover it's a little difficult to get homeowners insurance in the state of Florida. Give Damon Brist a call at Farmers Insurance, and he'll take care of you. In fact, Damon Brist will show you how to save money by bundling your homeowners insurance with your auto and your motorcycles and your boats and all your RVs that you're driving down here. So don't forget all of that. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance, one of the fastest growing farmers insurance agencies in the country. If you've relocated to sunny Southwest Florida and you're looking for a great rate, check out Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. Give him a call. He's still open. It's only 420. Tell him Craig at ESPN said, what's up? 239-202-2933. 239-202-2933. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. Have you switched yet?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Back on a Monday. Coming up, we've got Wikipedia in about 15 minutes. This is the anniversary of the 1980 Miracle on Ice. That will be our topic today.
Sweet.
Next hour, we'll get back into, we've got some good sound from Deion Sanders as he got robbed. Not like robbed by an official or a bad call. Literally was coaching his first game at Jacksonville State or Jackson State. Is it Jackson or Jacksonville? I got to get that.
Jackson.
Yeah. He got robbed. Stuff. Wallet.
There is a Jacksonville State.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll hear from Tiger Woods on whether he's playing the Masters. We'll also hear from Cam Newton biting back at a smart aleck kid. We'll have all that coming up. But first, we have some more NFL news and notes and sound. Here over the weekend is Kimberly Martin on KJZ. And she says, Houston will not move Deshaun Watson. There are reports that they're not answering the phone for people that want to make a trade for Deshaun Watson unless they are absolutely blown away by an offer.
The Houston Texans technically don't have to do anything because, you know, they have one of the top QBs in the league right now. Yes, he's frustrated. Yes, he's demanding the trade. But if you're the team, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to grant him that trade. And from now until August, the real issue is, will we see Deshaun show up for training camp and week one? That's when you start to worry. But right now, unless the Texans are blown away by an offer, they technically don't have to do anything because he's under contract.
True. We brought this up. That's just going to be the whole thing. If they each call each other's bluff or whatever and just, okay,
yeah,
I won't show up to camp, won't show up, then the fines start, and then we'll see.
We'll see.
But something that Bart and Hahn have been bringing up, I think is a really good point, is like there's still value in draft picks when trying to acquire Deshaun Watson. There's going to be a boatload of them tied to it.
Oh,
but
sure.
But if you're the Texans, I mean, to guarantee that you get the two from the Jets or guarantee that you get the three from Miami, you almost can't pass that up. So, yeah, I know that they're talking training camp, and once the fines start to pile up for Deshaun is when, you know, something might come to a, you know, start moving here. But if I'm the Texans and I got to get him out before the draft because I need to know, am I giving him up for the second pick or am I giving him up for the 20th pick? It's a huge difference.
Huge. And this is where we know they have the same agent. Caserio and Jack Easterby have the same agent. I know they knew each other from Foxborough. We also know Jack Easterby seems to be in charge and Cal McNair is not. So I don't know. Is there going to be friction that actually develops between, you know, Nick Caserio and Easterby and with the owners? Because I have a feeling that, you know, Nick Caserio has been, you know, I've only met him a couple of times, but I know he's a pretty competent guy. I think he knows what he's doing. And if he's getting overruled by Easterby, even though I know he knows the situation he got into, he may have even gotten a job because Easterby is there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to come a time where, exactly what Chris said, there's going to come a point where you got to make a decision. Are you going to gamble? Because if Deshaun Watson decides to hold out and says, screw you hippies, I'm not coming. I don't care what you do. I'm willing to sacrifice my entire career. I'll just get fine. Then what are they going to do?
I also agree with Chris. You got to do it before the draft.
I do.
You
totally
wait
until
after and
absolutely
hung on him hanging, not coming to camp. Now you the best you're getting is a first-rounder in 2022. I don't want to wait. I want to get a first-rounder this year and get on with my game here.
And you're trading that first-rounder for the team that's acquiring Deshaun Watson. So, in theory, if it's the Miami Dolphins, I'm not saying that it's going to be one of the final picks of the first round, but you figure that's a back half of the first-round draft pick.
Right.
Guarantee yourself a top five this year.
I agree.
And, you know, it's just going to be really interesting how they handle this, because I agree with you. If it's not at draft time and they wait and they wait and they wait, and then what's going to happen when say we're past exhibition season, he hasn't shown up yet. Now who's got the leverage? Now they know you're desperate. Now those great offers that you would have got at draft time are not going to be there.
Yep.
I don't think they'll be there. No. And then all of a sudden Deshaun Watson is going to be, now I got you by the you-know-what.
Here is
right.
Matt.
I mean, it's different than Dak Prescott on a franchise tag. This is different than Le'Veon Bell, who held out on a franchise tag. This is a guy with 4 years left on his contract.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's an awful lot of time.
Yep. Here's Matt Hasselbeck on Greeny this morning. Now, he says that Sean Watson's frustrations are misguided.
You know, as you start to say, okay, well, what is he mad about? It's been reported, and it's probably true, that he's mad that, you know, he was told that he was going to have input in the head coach and general manager hires. And in fact, you know, they didn't really value his opinion in that, and that they went and made their decisions without him. The reality is, like, if that's what he's upset about, okay, and you can't get over that when, you know, 5 months ago he signed this, you know, big contract extension that was, you know, essentially tying him to the organization for 6 more years at the time. If you can't get over the fact that, you know, hey, we were going to value your input and now you're not, like, that's a problem. And I think that's on Deshaun.
But again,
I think there's more to it.
Think this is tip of the iceberg stuff for us. There's something going on here. I keep saying there's going to be some sort of a monster, you know, awakening here. Like the Force Awakens, the Texans awaken. Someone is going to do some sort of expose on what really is going on over there. It's just too much nonsense for me to believe that it's just about that. That he just, okay, they didn't come to him as they said they would about input on the coach and the GM. Okay, it's got to be deeper than that, right? I think something's been festering for a long time over there.
Well, I don't know if this is it or not. I know there were a lot of athletes in Houston that wanted out when Cal McNair's dad You know, he was the one that said the inmates running the asylum, and I think some players have won. But I don't know if that's – I don't think that's it specifically because Deshaun signed his extension well after that.
Yes, so, he did.
But maybe stuff like that is lingering. I don't know.
Miami Herald reported today that if Deshaun Watson goes on the trade block, the Dolphins are interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure they're one of the two teams, and the Jets probably, I'm sure, is the other.
And that, it's mutual that admit, because, because
I just can't imagine if you're Nick Caserio. I mean, look, you – in a perfect world, you'd want to keep Deshaun Watson. He is, by any metric, he's one of the five best quarterbacks in the sport.
I know you're giving me Tua and draft picks.
Well, I know,
start over.
I know Nick, because I bet my life on it that he does not want Deshaun Watson out.
Oh, I know he doesn't him out.
I know,
but
at
some point, the writing has got to be on the wall that says, okay, even if Deshaun stays here for four more years, he's not re-signing here. Right. He's made it so clear that this is a quarterback that you've got a four-year window. Would you, if you were the Texans, would you sign a quarterback Aaron Rodgers' age right now? No, because the roster doesn't match the age of the quarterback.
No.
You want the quarterback to build with the roster. Right now, this roster, it's not even in its infant stages yet. It's still pregnant. I mean, let's see, and after free agency and the draft, what this roster starts to look like.
Well, that's just it, because how else are you going to recruit and players and receivers to go there? The Patriots are kind of in a different boat, but the same kind of thing. And maybe the Patriots are the other team kicking the tires big time on Deshaun Watson. But if you're him, why are you going there? You got to show me first what you got coming in.
Yep.
What's your commitment to wide receivers and tight ends? What am I going to be throwing to?
Right. I mean, this is a team that's losing their best wide receiver, Will Fuller.
Again, A.J. McCarron, who they're going to interview. A.J. McCarron's your backup at Houston. They were going to interview him as a coach. Well, I mean, it's unheard of.
Well, I like McCarron.
Yeah. As a coach?
No, as a player.
As a Bama. Former Bama player. Yeah. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. Here's Mike Tannenbaum this morning on KJC talking about the Buccaneers. Yeah, the rumors out there that Odell Beckham Jr. wants to join Tom Brady and company. Tannenbaum argues that Odell Beckham Jr. joining the Bucs makes their defense better.
Odell Beckham makes the Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense much better, and here's why. During trade negotiations, you ask for permission to speak to Odell and his agent, and you say, hey, look, come down here, help us repeat as Super Bowl champs. We need you to take less money because we're trying to keep the group together. But if you win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, imagine that puts you back on the national conversation. You let Chris Godwin graduate, you take that savings, and now you keep Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett, and Ndamukong Suh. So Beckham's a better player than Godwin, and if you recruit him the right way, you could probably get him for less money. So I think Beckham actually could help the other side of the ball and still keep you explosive on offense.
Rather have Godwin. I would. I know Odell
Beckham Jr. Wants to win a Super Bowl, but does that really put him more on the national stage? I guess. I mean, he's playing in the NFL with the Browns, who get plenty of attention. If he can stay on the field and stay healthy, Odell Beckham Jr. has no problem drawing attention.
No, not at all. And the Browns have no problem winning without him.
I'm not under the impression he wants to get less money right now in his career. Isn't he in the sweet spot of his career?
I want to keep the core of this Tampa Bay team intact as much as possible. And that means, to me, the top two guys are Shaq Barrett, number one, and Godwin is two. 1-1A.
But if you can't pay Godwin...
Well, that's different. That's a different story.
But right now they've got 13... When I looked earlier today, it was somewhere just north of $13 million in cap space.
The
Buccaneers. Yeah, I mean, okay, $13 million, that can get you Shaq Barrett back. That might be able to get you Shaq Barrett back and Ndamukong Suh. That's not enough to keep Barrett, Chris Godwin.
No, it's foolish.
Lavonte David. It's not enough to keep all of that. But
and it's foolish to think any team could do that with all these free agents.
Right.
So we know Tampa Bay. If people out there are that delusional to think they're going to have the exact same team back next year, you're crazy.
But
you're not. I bet you there's a bunch of those guys are not going
to
be here.
But does Odell Beckham, to Tannenbaum's point, does that 80% of what you would pay Chris Godwin, can you take that extra 20% from that wide receiver dollar and move it to Lavonte David to keep the linebackers together, to move it? Maybe that's the extra, 20% you need to keep Shaq Barrett in town. I don't know if the numbers work out like that, because I don't know what Odell Beckham's contract is like, and I don't think Odell would take a cut right now.
I don't think you would either.
But I think Chris Godwin is going to be one of the three most sought-after wide receivers. I think it's
without
him.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I think it's him. I think it's Galladay.
Juju Smith-Schuster, Galladay.
Or I'm sorry, there's Juju that I even forgot about.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of money, Pete Shepard.
Yeah.
Apparently the NFL thinks things are going swimmingly. They got a big ask on rights fees.
Yeah. So I guess on CNBC dropped a big story. Sports Illustrated picked it up late Friday afternoon. It must have been you guys got off the air. I wasn't here. But the NFL apparently is asking for a 100%. Did you see this, Chris? The NFL is asking for a 100% rights fee increase from everybody on the television network, all television partners.
ESPN can't afford that.
No.
Because, well, I was just saying, well, think about all the people they cut and fired and let go to pay for that NFL contract. Right. Now they're going to double that?
So, again, the you know, they're dealing with, obviously, all the different media outlets. And since ESPN last year paid one, way overpaid, by the way, $1.9 billion per season. $1.9 billion.
So now $4 billion?
And now they want $3.8 billion.
The only way that they're going to be able to get away with that, and they won't get 100%, but they would get, I mean, I don't want to say double, but pretty close to it if they would include streaming rights.
Well,
on all these games, because these Amazon Prime games and what they get for streaming exclusive, if you let ESPN do that, juice is worth the squeeze now.
Yeah.
Now I got no problem, you know, shelling out the extra bucks.
And we saw the streaming numbers for the Super Bowl were all-time
high.
Up, but according to, what's his name, Andrew Miller, who wrote the book on ESPN, knows all about the inner workings of ESPN, said, the issue for ESPN is scheduling as much as money. Monday Night Football hasn't had must-see games week in and week out in years. We know that Sunday Night Football, even Thursday Night Football, and whatever the main Fox or CBS game on Sundays, always gets priority.
Yep.
Again, despite the $1.9 billion ESPN is paying. So Miller says Disney expected things to change this time around when they negotiated a new deal, and they did not. And now, he's right, ESPN has no leverage.
Yeah.
He says, if you made it clear you're not willing to walk away, where's the leverage? Going into this round of negotiations, the big move that ESPN wanted was to get reparations for the last deal where they grossly overpaid, and doesn't look like that's going to happen. So as long as Thursday Night Football exists, it makes it difficult to buy Monday Night Football and feel confident you're going to get a great schedule, even if there's flex at the end of the season. So he's like, I don't know how they're going to come up with all these great matchups to justify the increase. And the NFL can charge a little bit more than others.
It would,
but at the end of the day, ESPN will wind up paying more per game than others. They thought the NFL was going to make up the last contract to them, which is absolutely crazy thinking.
I think what they need to do here is they need to figure out a way where you can stream out-of-market games. Maybe it's buying into the ESPN Plus package or CBS All Access or whatever Fox has for their streaming access. But you've got to be able to figure out a way to start chomping away at this DirecTV monopoly that they have, where they're the only ones who are allowed to show out-of-market games.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
I like the outside-the-box thinking. However, I'm sure the attorneys at CBS and Fox and Amazon are thinking the same thing, going, they ain't going to let that happen.
Well,
we are not going to let that happen. There'll be some sort of clauses in those contracts when they negotiate their deals as well.
I
understand what you're saying, and it's a good idea. I'm just wondering, you know, will the other networks block them? Which I think they
would. Well, there's so much fear of losing the rights to these other guys and these other platforms now out there. You know, I remember when I was at Fox Sports, Ed Gore and David Hill during negotiations actually at one time offered the NFL a check for the entire rights of all games. Like, there would be no more CBS.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no more ESPN.
Yeah.
Every game on Fox or their affiliates.
And now they have the
And the NFL didn't want to do that.
And now they have the extra stations to pull it off.
Now they
didn't
do.
Have FS1
well,
or
they
FS,
had, they,
FS2. They had FX, and they had Fox.
They had this Fox Sports Regionals at that time.
That's true.
They did have that.
That's true.
So they could have very easily done it. The NFL didn't want to put all of its eggs in one basket, but the blank check was there to do everything. But, yeah, there's always other networks out there and other platforms that are willing to put big-time money out there, and ESPN's afraid to death to lose it.
And then you got to worry about, I mean, and it's not the first time I'm about to say this, but, I mean, HBO has sort of been in the background a little bit for a year. They've always sort of been, you know, they do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And I think they would overpay as well. I'm just not sure the NFL is ready to go to a pay-per-view service. Well, you know, for, you know, $13.99 a month.
Right.
For a service like that, but not impossible. I mean, remember, you must have done shows in the past. I know I have, even 20 years ago, about the possibility of the Super Bowl being on pay-per-view or on HBO. They buy the rights to it.
I've always argued that before I die, that's going to happen.
If you're CBS, ESPN, Fox, NBC, we've got 13 games in a full I'm sorry, 16 games in a full weekend.
Right.
If you get the streaming rights to 2 in the 1 o'clock window and 1 in the 4 o'clock window,
gold mine.
I think that's the only way that – because they've got to figure out a way where you can watch a team out of market. It's ridiculous that DirecTV is the only provider who's allowed to show you out-of-market games. It's a monopoly.
Yeah,
I don't know how it's legal.
That's going to change. Well, and again, and I know it pisses off DirecTV, but Red Zone Channel is, I mean, the greatest thing since sliced bread, as far as I'm concerned. At least you get to see – I mean, but I'm saying a lot of people won't go – that route you're talking about, unless you can't get it online. You can stream it too. You can stream, you can get the package
online. But
you've
got to be involved with DirecTV. I can't just go and say, go to the NFL and say, here you go, NFL. If I, Miami Dolphins fan living in Arizona, I can't give the NFL my $300 check and say, I want access to the Miami Dolphins. It's impossible.
But you can go on Amazon and get DirecTV on Amazon just for those. Just pay the whatever it was. What's it a year? $200?
$300.
Yeah. You pay the $300 for the year and you got it. And I also think eventually what's going to happen is you just pay, at the very least, if you're out of market and you go to on demand. Hey, I want to see.
You're telling me a Browns fan?
I want to see a game and charge $5.
Browns fan wouldn't pay $300 at the beginning of the year to be able to say, I don't want to stream it. I don't want to do it. I want to be able to watch my team sitting on my couch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The market's there.
And we're lucky down here because, obviously sometimes you have to leave home, but every sports bar down here has every game, just about. Everyone. They all do it. Because it's such a money maker. You got to.
They do that everywhere.
You got to, because if you don't have it, you're going to lose business.
All right, coming up, we're going to play Wikipedia. This is the anniversary of the Miracle on Ice from 1980. We'll do Miracle on Ice trivia. So if you've never seen Team USA or don't know the story, don't call. But right now we'll take caller number 9 to take on Pete Shepherd of Wikipedia. Plus, you'll win a pair of tickets to the Contender Boats 250 at Homestead Miami Speedway February 27th. Caller number 9, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Caller number 9, a winner and a contestant with Pete Shepherd at Wikipedia. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
Today is the 41-year anniversary of the Miracle on Ice with Team USA and a hockey team. That is going to be our trivia topic today. Caller number 9 is Dave in Bonita. Dave, how are you?
How you doing, guys?
Great.
Good. Dave, how old are you?
I am 54 years old.
So you remember Miracle on Ice. That is good. That's a good start. All right, first 1 to 3, correct?
I got a funny story about it.
All right.
I saw the game live on Canadian TV.
Oh, that's how you got it.
Fantastic.
Around. Very good.
Where were you?
Northern Vermont.
Oh, okay. Oh, right there on the border.
All right.
Oh.
All right. First 1 to 3 correct answers is a winner. And Dave, you get to go first. Dave, going back in your memory time machine, who was the play-by-play announcer for the 1980 Olympics who uttered the famous phrase, "Do you believe in miracles?"
That would be Al Michaels.
All right, 1-0 Dave. Pete Shepherd.
Ken Dryden, famous word after Al said that was, you can barely hear it, unbelievable.
Yep.
He said he makes fun of himself for that.
Well, at least he didn't ruin the call. Pete Shepherd.
Yes.
How many Team USA players on that team were from Boston University?
Jimmy Craig, Dave Silk, Michael Rizzioni, Jack O'Callaghan.
That's it. 4.
Yeah.
I didn't even ask you to name them. I just wanted a number. That was impressive.
Yep.
Very impressive.
He just said the names.
Huh? Oh. Well, I'm going to give him credit for that.
All right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're the judge.
All right. We're tied at 1. Dave, where did the 1980 Winter Olympics take place?
Lake Placid.
That is it. 2-1.
Which Lake Placid?
Lake Placid, New York.
I'm just kidding. Actually, I think there's another one.
Florida. Yeah, I think the other one's in Florida.
That's right. Yeah.
Dave, Art the Bills fan is listening. He told me to give you a shout out. He knows you. So, Art, Dave, oh, yeah. Dave, All right. Art.
Nice.
All right. Hey, Art. How's it going?
Yeah. All right. Pete Shepard.
Yep.
The final score of Team USA's win over the Russians.
4-3.
That is correct. We're tied at 2. Next correct point is a winner. Next question goes to Dave. Dave, the win over the Russians gave Team USA the right to play who for the goal?
That would be Finland.
Yes. Winner, winner! A tightly contested 3-2 score. No incorrect answers. Dave, congratulations.
All right. I'm going to sit and listen to the rest of the questions now.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for the extra. See, Dave knows how it works.
They were down 2-1.
Thank you, Dave.
Going into the third period, and that's when Herb Brooks said, if you guys lose this game, you take it to your bleeping grave. And he started to walk out the door, and he came back in, and he goes, your bleeping grave. Mm. And they steamrolled.
Nice
three straight goals.
Nice pep talk.
Yep.
Goose pimples.
Yeah.
Okay, the rest of these questions are pretty easy. In fact, all of these were pretty easy. I don't think we had any wrong answers.
No. Good questions, though.
Final score of the gold medal game.
4-2.
That's correct.
Yeah.
This one's super easy. It wasn't meant for you. Head coach of Team USA.
Herb Brooks.
Final question. Who played Herb Brooks in the movie Miracle?
Kurt Russell.
By the way, do you know who played him in the documentary, which was a few years earlier than that? It was like a docudrama.
You're talking about the horrible TV movie that was made in like 1981?
I believe it was called Miracle on Ice.
Yeah, it was a horrible movie.
Do you remember who played him?
I you know, when you tell me.
This is just a bonus question.
Carl Malden. Oh, Carl Malden. That's right.
I did know that, yeah. Oh.
That was a horrible, horrible movie.
Carl Malden was known for his American Express commercials. And then
Duracell Battery?
No, that was a younger guy.
Go ahead, knock it off. I dare you.
Yeah.
That was another guy?
Yeah.
Carl Malden was like a sort of a Clint Eastwood type, right? Kind of like that.
Sort of.
Tough guy.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
All right. We got through that unscathed. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Lighting up my work.
You misspelled a lot.
Easy back there. You should not be talking.
You did. I mean,
I left the B off of Boston. Notice I ad-libbed. Yeah, I was typing. It was just a typo. But due to my professionalism, I smoothed right over it. Nobody knew until Chris pointed it out. So yeah.
There was another one in there.
Was there?
Yeah.
I think I was flawless, actually. Other than that, nailed it. All right.
Yeah, no.
5 o'clock hour coming up. If you haven't heard this before, you'll want to hear Deion Sanders' reaction to his first win as a college football coach. Not talking about what you think he would be talking about. We'll hear from Tiger Woods on whether he'll be playing in the Masters. And we'll hear Cam Newton with a little back and forth with a snotty-nosed kid at his football cap. It's all gold. Absolute gold. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.